Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we will be discussing the plan to spend billions on movie theaters. Lost and Friends have huge anniversaries, and our topic this week, who determines if dialogue is just too cringy? Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today, my fellow host, John Davenport.
Hey, buddy.
Troy Heinrichs.
We have to go back to the coffee shop.
Oh, look at you trying to connect them. So I wasn't on the episode last week. You guys made a lot of references to that, which I assume is because you were very, very sad that I wasn't there. But did a nice job with the fall TV preview. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I know. And apparently John isn't dying alone. So he's back for another week.
That was my favorite joke. I'm not kidding. Like, go back and listen. I'm not going to ruin it for you, but I guffawed in my car. I was like, what just happened?
Aaron and I have worked together for a very long time. So if I can get Aaron to laugh, then I feel that was successful.
I felt terrible about it, but by God, I did.
Did you?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Oh, Amanda won't be here, by the way. If you're listening, you're wondering where that delightful laugh is. She is not here. She had to work late, so she won't be here. Sorry.
It's okay. She was on a roll.
It is okay. Hey, what are you going to do?
She's been here more this year than last year.
That's true. Well, last year she was going through a career and a life change, right?
Yes.
So.
And a house change.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's always got some changes going on. Remember, if you're interested in more information, you can find it at thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can join our Facebook group or on X at Buy Popcorn. Share your thoughts on this episode or anything else at our email, feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. If you feel like, well, you sound a little rough here, like you don't know what you're doing. Well, I haven't done it in a couple weeks, number one. Number two, we haven't done like a normal kind of episode in a while because we did the awards, then we did the fall TV preview, and I'm traveling. So I don't have my normal setup. I don't have my normal microphone. I don't have my normal. I feel naked and not in a good way.
You completely missed the easiest transition you could have possibly had in the world because Amanda was going through change. Then you could have said, you know what else is going through change? Movie theaters. But you missed it. You had to talk about all that other shit that nobody cares about.
The fact that you brought it up made me think I made the right call. I feel like that was the right call to not bring it up, to not transition that way, to actually go the way I did and just. Instead, sound like a bumbling idiot.
Did you guys all miss this? You know, the fact that Aaron has to just, you know, step on everybody. Think he's awesome.
I step on everybody. What? Oof.
I gotta Oof. Go.
What are you talking about? You're drunk with power. Let's move into some movie and TV discussion because there's a lot of cool stuff that's going on. $2.2 billion is being spent by the movie theater chains to modernize the theater experience, which I think is probably unnecessary, but also kind of awesome. There's a lot that goes into it. They want to make sure the seats are comfortable. There's a whole range of seating options that are going to be available. They're going to improve the lighting, get good signage, jazz up the sound, get great projection, all of that. Like, and I've heard they're looking to spruce them up in terms of making them more open to other entertainment experiences like bowling alleys, things like that. What do you want to see? What do you want to see from your movie theater going forward? You already have the Dolby Digital. A lot of theaters have the recliners. Not all towns and cities have them. But what else do you need? What do you need to draw you in?
The COVID seat.
Do you need anything else?
Return the COVID seat. Just take one seat out. Every two seats, take one seat out just so that there's space. So you're not sitting next to the other couple that's deciding to not watch the movie.
How often does that really happen anymore, though? Like, it never have. I can't remember the last time I sat next to people.
On a Thursday night or a Friday night on an opening weekend? Yeah. I mean, if you go at 10 o'clock in the morning, like I usually go, you don't usually have that problem. But I think for most opening nights, I mean, you're like stacked on top of people because people are going to the theaters.
So you're saying you're not fighting out blue hair at 10 in the morning, like there's nobody there?
I haven't done the 10 a.m. Saturday in a while. I do miss it, actually. It's the best time to go see a movie because it's like quiet, like your own house.
I get the idea of wanting the COVID seat, but at the same time, I don't see the need for it, because there hasn't been, for me at least, there hasn't been too many situations where I'm sitting next to strangers. That's the beauty of the assigned seating, because
exactly,
you naturally have the COVID seat being built into the whole system. So sometimes you got...
Can we stop calling it the COVID seat? I just feel like that's probably the wrong way to phrase
that's
it.
That's exactly what it was for. It was for COVID protocols. So yes, it's the COVID seat. Or in the case of some of the listeners that we have on here, it's the seat that I buy before the show, and then I end up canceling it 2 minutes before the show starts to get my money back because I want a COVID seat between me and the other people. I'm not going to name names or anything, but you know who you are.
You know who you are. Go ahead, John. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail you.
It's all right. I just spent the last couple minutes trying to think of better names than COVID seat, and the courtesy seat.
Courtesy seat, urinal seat?
Yeah, you know, because kind of like the... No,
I don't know. I don't know.
I get where I get where
do you pee? Do you need a place? Do you need a place to pee in your seat?
I'm making the connection to the courtesy seat to the courtesy urinal, where you like you go in the men's room and you don't stand next to a stranger at the urinal.
No,
you go to the next stall over or the next urinal over.
I say, let's take a look. Let's be friends. Let's hang out. Let's see what magic memories we can make. You know what I mean? You never know. This could be your new best friend for life.
There's a whole quiz you take to say, like, if the urinals are occupied this way, which one do you take? And if they're occupied this way, which one do you take? And the answer is you never take one where you have to stand next to another dude.
Women don't even know the guy we're talking about. Women have no idea. We're losing women. They don't know what you're talking about. They never had to experience this or suffer through the awkwardness of having to pee next to another grown man.
Because they have a COVID seat. It's called a steel wall between the two toilets. That's why. See? It works for bathrooms. Why can't it work for the movie theater?
I don't know what's happening. Don't just COVID seat. I don't like, I definitely don't like urine seat. I don't want to have to tell someone, hey mom, don't sit there. That's the urine seat.
We said urinal, not urine.
Yeah. I said urinal.
I heard urine seat.
You're in my seat. Get the fuck out.
Check the tape.
I said urine seat.
See, I heard it right. He pees himself. Anyhow, it's the depend seat. That's where it is for Jen.
Anyhow. This is why I buy the extra large soda, so that I have room to work with whenever it's time to, you know, evacuate a few things. But the thing that I think is really cool about this is that the idea of
adding grosser. I don't understand how you made that more gross.
Adding bowling alleys to the whole aspect of this, making it more of an entertainment complex, I think is very cool. That's the thing I think we're missing these days. We're missing entertainment complexes. And there's a lot that's going on, at least in this town, where I see people who are sort of creating their own pop-up entertainment complexes, where you'll see pickleball in one spot, which I don't get. I don't understand why you white people.
Dude, it's a huge trend. It's for people that can't really exercise and play.
It's for people that
anymore.
Don't understand how to play tennis. That's really what it is.
They grew up playing ping pong,
so they play ping pong just outside.
Here's what I would say. I think pickleball, which I have not played, but I know a lot of people that are really into it, so I don't want to knock them. Just in case they listen, I want to lose more listeners because we just feel like we just lost women with urinal cakes or whatever. But I feel like pickleball is for people that used to play sports, but now the body's getting a little older. It's a little harder, so it's a little easier on the old knees.
But it's not as much running as tennis.
Right. It's a little safer.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
And more people can play it. Let's be fair. More people can play it. You don't have to be super athletic.
The challenge with the entertainment complex is like, why don't we just build malls again? Because that's really what you're building. You're building a mall. That's what
malls are pointless. When you go to a mall and like when we were coming up, the mall would be a place where you basically went to go hang out. Sure, you might have done some shopping, probably some stealing. It depends on who you were, where you're growing up. Because I'm sure Aaron's got stories of where he was stealing stuff all the time.
Not Aaron, no. My friends though.
But you know, it gets back to that whole communal aspect of places to go. Malls aren't going to be as important as they were ever again. There are still some big malls, but they're more they've become entertainment complexes where you have amazing restaurants and some stores that you can't find anywhere else, or something to that effect. Movie theaters going the same route is an actual smart move.
But building,
I want credit for letting him finish his thought while all I heard was communal in my head, and it's still up there because but I let you finish your thought. I'm very proud of myself. I didn't cut you off. I didn't refuse to let you finish. I just said, communal. I want a communal experience.
But they're going to spend $2.2 billion to recreate the mall. Minus
it's not the mall. There's no shopping. TJ Maxx isn't there. It's entertainment complex is the right way to call it. It's
yeah.
There's a few things. Not a whole freaking half a mile lot.
It's not an NFL stadium for Pete's sake. I mean, it's a movie theater. Just build a movie theater.
I'm just saying.
I don't need go-karts going around the theater, and I can hear the go-karts during the course of my show.
That's what soundproofing is for.
That'd be so great for Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, that'd be great for one particular movie, but poor It Ends With Us is going to boom, 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 as poor Blake Lively's crying in her Cheetos.
the having kids not cry in my theater and run around in the theater like crazy people to respect the people that actually want to go to the movies and have them go somewhere else sounds like a great idea. At the same time, then you're not going to the movies. You're going to AMC racetrack, AMC water park, AMC whatever. It's not AMC theaters. Yeah, you're
just selling it for me. I'm sorry, dude.
It's a captured audience. You get people that want to come for one thing, and then they might stick around and go see a movie, and that it becomes a place where people can hang out again, which is the idea behind the mall, but it's not a mall.
I only have enough money to go to the go-kart track or the water park or the arcade. I don't have money to do both. You're going to pull people away from the movie theater by doing this versus focusing on the theater experience itself.
I think they're going to do both. I don't think everything's going to be a theme park. I'm just saying some of the ideas they have. Most of them is going to revolve around updating the furniture, making sure you have those plush couches or the plush chairs that recline and you fall asleep halfway through the movie. It's like watching it from home. You know, it's that comfortable, but you got fantastic sound. And somehow you can still sleep through it and nobody thinks that's a problem. They should probably get themselves checked out. I don't know where we went with that, but I went on the wrong tangent.
Because you wanted to call me out? Like, I don't understand why you're doing that right now.
I'm just, people get comfortable. I don't get it. But yeah, I think that's what we're going to get. We're going to get a better experience.
How much more better does it need to be, though?
You're right. Let's just have a terrible experience. Like our next topic, Lost. So,
oh my God.
There nice. Are two shows.
I'll give you that transition. That was a good one for you. I
will tell you there are two shows that both debuted on September 22nd. So this very week that we're recording this podcast, right? And they both have really significant anniversaries. One is 20 years. One is 30 years. Let's start with the 20 year first, and that's Lost. Lost changed genre storytelling. I would say it came along and kind of redefined what genre storytelling could be. Really reinvigorated the podcast space because it got people talking about their shows long after they were done.
I mean, I would say it even started the podcast space because podcasting started right about 2004, 2005.
Very possible. Like it really, really kickstarted it. And then had one of the most divisive endings of all time for different reasons. Troy will argue it ended perfectly. And I would argue that it spent 6 years building up a bunch of stories about an island and then decided, I don't know how to answer them. So we're just going to leave the island. And still managed to give great character endings. So it's a hodgepodge for me of an ending. But
I think we can
it's the most divisive, one of the most divisive. I would say it's more divisive than Game of Thrones.
Whoa. Even more divisive than Sopranos?
I don't think Sopranos is a divisive. I don't think enough people, I don't think the same amount of people that watched Sopranos watched Lost and Game of Thrones. I think way more people watch those two things.
That would make sense.
It's my opinion. The ratings prove it, but, it's still an opinion. So, let's say you. John, let's ask you.
Yeah, because I'll go for
Troy and I are very opinionated.
So, John,
how do you feel about Lost 20 years later when you look back on it?
It's okay.
Thanks for the feedback. We really, really do appreciate it.
Well,
it's okay we cut you off all
John,
the time.
John has a weird connection with that, and I can understand his hesitation.
Lost used to be a show that I would say that it was something that I loved and I loved like being part of. I liked being part of the community and being engaged with it. It was something that was fun. I liked the ending. I'm one of those people who really liked the ending of Lost. And I enjoyed the forgetting about the island and focusing on the characters because to me, the show was always about the characters anyways. The fact that it's 20 years old, I don't care. The fact that it's been probably that long since I sat down and watched it, I don't care. I don't think I'm going to be going back to revisit it anytime soon. But though I do know people who revisit it every single year.
Okay, every year is a lot. I'm not even that crazy.
That would be a lot. Yeah, that would be a lot.
It's 120 episodes. That's a lot of TV.
That was the first show I can remember having like a real gathering to watch with people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not since like MASH or ER was probably the time before that. Okay,
when MASH ended, I think it was like 8 or 7 or something. I was not gathering to watch MASH. I was going outside and stealing things from the mall, according to John.
Well, I didn't have time to watch MASH. Our parents were gathering to watch MASH and talk
about it. Sure. But, you know, or Dallas or whatever the hell. But I don't think I think it's the first time I've recognized that this was a cool thing to do. Watch TV with people. Because, I mean, for most of my youth, people didn't. It wasn't cool to watch TV. It was really kind of, oh, you're lazy if you watch TV. Now everybody does it. But that was very much how it was seen when I was younger. And then this was something that was communal or communal or something like that, where people would gather and get together and just kind of enjoy it, talk about it, fight about it, not the way we fight now, but like actual debates about spirituality and thematic material and what it all means and where's it all headed and what's in the hatch and all that stuff. It was a fun experience.
It was an amazing experience. I mean, some of the best friends I have today are because of that show. Like, there are people that I still talk to, that we talk to online, that we listen to podcasts with, actual podcasters that did shows about Lost. Just the amazing community that came out of that show. For something, a great example is Cancer Gets Lost, right? Cancer Gets Lost was basically created to take props and auction off stuff from the show. And then all of those auctioned pieces would then get donated. 100% of all of the money that they've raised over the last 20 years or 10 years, because it didn't start till the show ended. But everything over the last 10 years, over $500,000 has been donated to fund cancer research through that organization. And I think that's just really cool that someone would take the time to do that. And the people that are organized with Cancer Gets Lost were actually at the premiere of the Getting Lost documentary film that happened in LA on the 20th anniversary, on the 22nd of September. And so for them to be able to be on stage to do that, to see Jorge still doing the Lost tour and all that fun stuff, I think that's just great. And I'm super excited that I paid $108 to get my name in the credits and a poster.
That is pretty neat. It's even if I didn't, I mean, 'cause I remember watching the finale. I do. You know, what's funny is I remember watching the actual premiere, right? And going, is this thing going to be legit? Is this going to be fun? And it's the same. I think Battlestar Galactica came out that same year too. No, Battlestar Galactica came out with Friends, right? Same time as Friends. I don't remember.
No, anyway. 2004. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that was the same year. So I'm like, well, genre storytelling on a network TV channel, that's not going to work. Those always failed. And yeah, I don't think so. I think that when I first watched that, I think it was a 2-hour premiere, right? I was completely enraptured in everything it had to offer, especially the island mysteries that apparently some people think don't matter. Whatever. They were very important to the story in every episode I ever watched, but you guys watched something else. But that first season, I will say, is one of the best seasons of TV I think I ever have watched. Now, they had ups and downs after that, and man, like, the whole Hatch thing was drug out way too long. But the sixth season was really kind of very hit or miss, but overall, one of the best experiences watching genre television, regardless of what I think about the ending.
I could be here for hours. I think that Lost did something that was pretty phenomenal at that time, which was bring probably not like-minded people together to watch something in a communal way through the internet, through all of the active marketing campaigns between the seasons, and just built this strange community of people that probably never would have walked across each other's paths. And I think that's really why the show is so good. And I agree with John that it wasn't about the island and it wasn't about the situation. It was about the people that were always connected, thrown into this weird experience, and then somehow managed to work through that experience to find each other again later in the afterlife. And and it's really no different than what we all go through now. Like, you take the entire universe out of this whole big expanse. We got this tiny little blue marble where all of us are just thrown on this little dot. And then we're all just kind of running around and connected in some way to something that might even be greater out there. And just seeing them go through their trials and tribulations and overcome their failures from the past to be heroes in the present. Like, that's the story of every human being on the planet. And I think that's why Lost resonates. So the people that are like, oh, so we didn't get the answer about this. I mean, it didn't matter. It mattered that the character stories,
it doesn't matter. Just because it doesn't matter to you doesn't mean it doesn't matter. That's the thing that you Lost defenders love to say. Well, it was really all about the characters the whole time. Well, then why did you introduce a new freaking mystery on the island every single week?
Because they're going to keep you coming back.
If it didn't matter, why did they do that every single week?
They hooked you and they reeled you in.
No, they didn't have the answers.
Because it was about the people.
That's it.
It's about the people.
No, the writers didn't have the answers. They originally were going to go to purgatory. I've confirmed this with writers on Lost. So
we know that. True. Yeah, we know that.
And so
and we all figured it out. We all figured it out early, so they had to change it.
So they had to change it. They don't want to own up to it, but I've heard it personally from writers. I'm not going to say who, but they freaking said it. And I have no reason to think they would lie about it. And then they had to go another direction. They had no idea what direction to go. So yeah, I guess in that respect, sure, it was always about the characters, but every episode is introducing a new question about something on the island, a new mystery. Something is over here. Something's over there. What does that thing do? What's going to happen now? All that stuff. It mattered. Just because you felt comfortable with how the characters ended doesn't mean it's fair to say that the people that didn't get something they wanted and they watched all 6 years, it's not fair to discount how they felt about it.
I'm just saying, when you rewatch it now, Every time you rewatch the show, and I don't do it every year, but I've seen it through 4 times now completely. Every time I've rewatched the show, I've actually resonated with a different character in the show, because at that point in my life, I was going through something, and whatever I was going through at that time when I watched it resonated with a Sawyer, or resonated with a Jack, or God forbid, the 4th time I watched it, I was crying for Ben, because Ben was just like, just somebody. Let me go with somebody and be part of something, because he was just this weak little man. And that's exactly how I felt at that time. And I was like, I can't believe I'm crying for Ben of all people.
Me either.
But that's the beauty of the show. Every time you watch it, you can resonate differently with different people.
They did some very good writing, and they had characters with real growth, real pain, real angst, real dimension.
Real love.
Yeah, real love. And like, just the fact that they did have real growth, and they made sure to get rid of the characters that didn't matter much.
Right.
You know, like Maggie.
Paolo and Nikki.
Paolo and Nikki is what I was just thinking about.
Yeah. Or Maggie. But either way, they got rid of the characters that didn't really matter. And then for some reason at the end, when they're in the afterlife, you got Maggie and say,
Paolo together. And Nikki.
That would have been funny. How did Maggie
somehow they got left together? Behind still.
That would have been kind of cool, actually. That would have been kind of cool. All right. So the other, you guys ready to go to the other show, or is there more you want to ruminate on Lost?
No. Everybody should watch it. It's on Netflix now, so it's easy to access. You don't have to buy Disney like you did before. Everybody should have Netflix, I think, at this point. So
I might go back to it. I mean, I own them all on DVD, but I bought them as they went. And if I would have seen the ending before, I probably wouldn't have bought it. I'll be honest, because I was that irritated.
That's why he hasn't upgraded
the Blu-ray version. More so that they acted, more so because of fans like you who love to tell me that I don't have a right to be upset about it.
But I think we can all agree.
Pointing at you through the internet.
We can all agree that ABC screwed the pooch when they were in the credits before Kimmel came on. I think everybody agrees that that was a bad decision by ABC to do that.
Refresh everyone's mind.
So when the show ended, it was just such a, it was like a high moment yet a down moment at the same time. And as the eyeball closes, it just felt like an abrupt transition to go from eyeball closing to Kimmel of all people, right? The jokester. So ABC decided to run the credits and then put a picture of the crashed plane on the beach as the credits played and the ocean waves were crashing. And it was just this quiet, somber moment. Because ABC did that, a lot of people ended up thinking that the whole thing was basically didn't happen, right? They figured they were just, the plane crashed. They were all dead the entire time. And it created this whole, we want to call it, yeah, subsect of Lost fans that are like, no, 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 the plane was there. The people weren't there. The people were dead. And it's like, no, that weren't. It was just ABC's dumb decision to do that and confuse the audience. Lindelof and Carlton Cuse said that too. They were just like, we didn't have any say in what went on at that point. So it's not part of the show. It's not canon.
Lindelof wasn't sure how to end anything anyway. So,
hey, Leftovers ends. Leftovers ends beautifully. So good.
You say so. If you say so. Let's move on to Friends. Okay, so also September 22nd. It's ironic. It's the same day, right? Like 10 years earlier. But Friends debuted, and now it's celebrating its 30th anniversary. Unfortunately, we lost one friend already, and we'll lose more in the future. Just like life. Like life, man. We lose friends. And, you know, it was a pretty fantastic show for many people. I was never really a fan. I think I said before we started recording, I've seen 15 episodes total. But I have very close friends that just, they name their pets after these characters. So, to each their own, right? But it's apparently, for a lot of people, it's a very relatable show. It's about enduring friendships. It had strong actors, all very talented in their own right. And great writing. By many accounts. So why is this one? I mean, there's so many sitcoms, right? With friends that get along, and you guys constantly talk about How I Met Your Mother, but that doesn't have the same longevity or fandom that this show did. This show is very much in the realm. This is like this and Seinfeld, and that's it. Like, those are the only two that come close.
I mean,
to this level of phenomena.
I'm just saying, How I Met Your Mother had a spinoff of How I Met Your Father. So it did pretty well.
Yeah, it lasted two seasons and got canceled. Didn't do too
still
well.
Had a spinoff. So, I didn't see a Friends spinoff. I'm just saying.
There was a Friends spinoff. Joey had his own spinoff.
Yeah, Joey had his own
show. Joey's show. But yeah, that was weird. Mm.
And Seinfeld didn't, because they didn't want to. They didn't want to taint it. Although, how do you taint it after that ending? But so in terms of Friends, why do you think this one resonates so much with people? Is it just because we all wish we had friendships like that and nobody cares that everybody's dating each other or whatever?
I think it's one of those things about the timing. You know, it came out in a time of like the golden age of sitcoms, or I'll call it the golden age of sitcoms. Because from that point, from the ending of Friends and from the ending of Seinfeld on, you don't have sitcoms that resonate nearly as well. With a small exception of, like, I think Big Bang Theory is a small part of that.
Yeah,
exception.
I would put that one. That one was a pretty mega.
Which
hit
is just too. Friends with Nerds,
right? It's Friends with Nerds,
and sure, it's actually, yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
you know, it's still in that era where it's very much. It's very much from the 90s on, things don't hit as much because that's just the beginnings of the oversaturation of television, the oversaturation of shows that are trying to emulate Friends. And I think that's why How I Met Your Mother resonated with so many people, because it was Friends, but actually funny. And Big Bang Theory was Friends with Nerds, and, you know, so on and so forth, rinse and repeat, the Friends with something else that actually worked. That's the only reason why I think it resonated way it did. We were
okay.
We were bereft of options back then.
Before anybody writes, I have never laughed at anything I've seen in How I Met Your Mother. I have laughed multiple times with Friends. I just don't like sitcoms that much.
How is it? How?
Come on. That show is just lame. It's so, and you gotta like always try to squeeze it in no matter what the topic is. Come back to Friends.
I didn't squeeze it in. I didn't squeeze it in.
I mentioned it.
He mentioned it. He mentioned it first.
To nod to you. And then I just had to come back to it. And you said it's funny where Friends wasn't. Friends is, I mean, come on. If you're going to compare the two, I couldn't. I just don't see that logic, other than you're a super fan of one of them.
Well, the world at large
would totally disagree.
I just don't understand how Aaron wouldn't love
like
the slap
it never
bet.
Came close.
The slap
like
bet.
That show. No, go look at the ratings, man. That show never even came close to Friends. Not even in the same zip code.
Well, it's because it's completely different. It aired during the internet era, and Friends didn't have the internet.
I don't care when it aired. I don't care when it aired. It wasn't even close. It was not even close. Big Bang Theory was close. Like, they had mega rating. Like, that was a mega, that's a very comparable example. How I Met Your Mother is, no, it really was never that big a hit. It was a medium hit, if that. That's all I'm saying.
It's a medium hit. It's not that big of a hit. It's a medium hit.
It wasn't a juggernaut. It was Friends is a juggernaut. Friends is a juggernaut. You have people that name their children after these characters. Oh, yeah. You have people that spend their whole lives like rewatching this over and over and over, and it's 30 years old. That's phenomenal.
Well, it's because TNT didn't let us watch anything else. That's all they had on the channel.
That's not why. No, this show is just freaking popular. It's just a popular. And what I don't get is apparently none of us three get it, but the world got it. Oh, no. So what are we missing?
I got it. Like, we literally had a Friends finale watch party. Like, I think there was probably 15 people at that one. Like we went. It was amazing. It was such a good time. All the way up until the end when he's like, you know, you want to go get coffee? Sure, where? And it's like, oh my gosh, that's so funny. Ha ha ha. Friends was just an experience. Like, I don't know why we were attracted to it. I don't know why we wanted to just watch. It's kind of probably like, I don't want to say it's like Grey's Anatomy, but there's just, once you fall in love with these characters, you just, for some reason, you're like, you have to, you resonate with one of them and you continue like, oh, that's me. I could see myself in that situation. And every single episode, there was always something where you could say, oh, I see myself in that situation. Or you had a friend that was in that situation, and you were trying to basically say like, well, how did they do it on Friends? How do we get out of that situation this week? Or how do we get ourselves into that situation this week? And I think that's the appeal of it, is that you could see yourself as those characters happening.
I mean, if you're white.
Sure. Fair point.
Wow.
No, that's
he's
one
not
thing.
Wrong. He's I not just, wrong.
I'm not wrong, but I also want to say, because I know people always bring this up, right? There were no people of color on the cast and da-da-da-da. My wife's brown. And she freaking loves that show and identifies just like Troy just said. I think the personalities carry. I think the personalities are universal and they kind of bleed off to everyone in some respect. So it's just one of those shows. I'll never understand the passion and power that show has, but I respect it.
It's good.
It's good. Now, were they on a break? That's the question. Were they on a break?
Yes, they were on a break.
So, if they're on a break, why was that such a big thing? I mean, if they said we're not together.
Because if they truly loved each other, they wouldn't have dated other people, even if they were on a break.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. See, this is why I can't get into this show. It makes no sense to me.
This is also why relationships suck these days.
Why? Because this makes sense to you? This logic?
No, it doesn't make sense to me. It's because everyone else was like, oh, no, it's because they did it on Friends. This makes sense.
If you aren't together, you aren't together. That's just how science works.
Well, the one person like, probably not, thinks
if you're
they're
not together,
together.
I still love you, but you said we're not together, right? Yes. Well, then I'm free to do whatever I want.
Right. But the other person's still like, but I wanted to be with you the whole time.
Sounds like should have not done the break thing then, right? Like, this is just how it works.
Which means one of them didn't like the other person at that moment.
If you have a bridge and the bridge is closed, as we've learned recently, sadly, in certain cities, and something runs into it, it topples, right?
Right.
If there's a break, it goes right through, as it should. That's all I'm saying. I think there's a lesson in there somewhere.
Yeah, the lesson is we're never going to be able to have amazing mustaches like Tom Selleck. Or teeth, since he was a dentist.
Why can't you even just follow a train of thought? What, you just got to like jump over something that...
it's in the show. He dated Monica.
Such a leap.
Why such can't you a leap. Just follow a train of thought?
My God. We should mention that there is a Friends game show is coming to Max in honor of the sitcom's 30th anniversary. It's going to be... Do you want to tell them about it?
Yeah, it's like a four-part competition series titled Fast Friends.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It'll be filmed inside of the Friends Experience. It's the one that's actually in New York, a two-story, 17,000-square-foot attraction with 18 nostalgia-filled rooms. I've been to something like this in the Office Experience. It was pretty awesome, actually. So they'll basically be recreated sets, and I guess they're going to have to like run through the experience and do stuff to be crowned the winner for that episode. So it should be an interesting show. It'll be on Max soon.
All right. Well, from there, let's move on to
Patreon.
I don't know what we want to talk about. Yeah, Patreon. Our show's independently funded. You know what I mean? Therefore, all of our expenses are from our own pockets, and Patreon helps fans support their favorite podcast. So if you like this show, and I do want to say, I apologize this week, because if I have a lot of background noise, again, I'm at a hotel. I can't control it. But so I keep hearing it in my mind. I think you hear it. You might not even hear it, but it bothers me. So once you sign up, you get immediate access to everything in your respective tier. And you can support the show at patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. We don't have any reviews this week, but I did want to ask if you guys have any recent film or TV recommendations we haven't already talked about that's newish. Did you watch any of those shows that you talked about last week yet?
No, I haven't started any of the shows that we talked about last week. But one of the things I did do was
great commitment to the craft. You know what I mean? Great commitment to the craft.
Hey, nobody said I had to watch all that stuff. Just talk about the stuff that interests me. One of the things I did do is finally watch the final season of House. I know it's been a couple years since that show has been on TV, or even
talk about something newish. You go to House, which has been gone for like 50. I think it came out the same time as freaking Lost did.
You might be right.
Go ahead. Continue.
For whatever reason, that final season was something that I never went back to. Truth be told, I watched all of the seasons and then watched the final season just to have a nice refresher. And it was a beautiful ending to a beautiful show. I really loved the way that they reinvented Sherlock Holmes with House, and then the ending of how they tied it up with a bow with House and Wilson riding off into the sunset on motorcycles was pretty cool. The last five episodes, I believe I had a frog in my throat the entirety of the last five episodes of that show. Aww. Again, I don't know why I stopped watching it when I did, because apparently it was at the very last episode of the seventh season. And then I just never picked it up again, but it was great. So I recommend that.
177 overall episodes for that show. That's pretty impressive. On Fox, of all places.
Yeah, they cancel things left and right without even thinking about
it. But you did go back and like watch some of them before watching the final season. It's not like you just were like, I'm just going to pick up that last season right now.
I had it on the background for several seasons. I had it. You know, I sat down and watched a couple of episodes along the way, and I was refreshed along the way as far as what happened to that show.
I was worried. I was like, dude, he just like picks up a show out of the blue and just watch, like, what the hell just happened? That'd been weird.
You worry about the weirdest things sometimes.
What about you, Troy? Have you seen anything that's 12 years old?
No, I'm still watching Rings of Power. I'm still watching The English Teacher that we talked about last week. I did not watch The Jewel Thief with Sophie Turner. Unfortunately, just missed that one. Didn't get it in. But sir, I have a retraction. Can I print a retraction? Can I speak a retraction in a podcast? Sure. Does that work that way?
Sure.
Grey's Anatomy. Hey,
if you're going to admit to getting something wrong, please.
Yeah. Grey's Anatomy is not the show that I've watched the most episodes of a single TV series in. I was incorrect. I know. Everybody slow down.
Are you waiting for us to ask you what it is? I just assumed you were going to throw it out.
No, I just hope nobody like got in a car accident because they were shocked by the fact that I said that I was incorrect. Survivor actually is the one that I've watched the most episodes, because I found out there were 620 Survivor episodes at this point. So I was incorrect.
You know, nobody cares about this, right?
He cares.
Aaron cares that I said I was wrong. I mean, I do care.
It's important. This is Christmas. This is right. Growth is what it is.
But it's Survivor, which is a competition show, which doesn't really count as television.
Whoa. Well, those might be fighting words. I don't know. My 35th anniversary buff right here says otherwise.
Your what?
My buff.
I think he said his butt.
It's a 35th anniversary buff with all of the logos from all 35 cycles of Survivor, which nobody can see on an audio podcast.
Let me transition to another show that is a survival show that is on Netflix called Outlast, which I've been watching. And it's basically like Alone. If you watch Alone, I love Alone, and where somebody goes out in the wilderness and they have to survive on their own for so long, and whoever does it the longest, they win.
Are you watching this because you and Alone are on a break? I didn't know.
Oh my God. You tried. That was good. You tried. No, but this is a new reality show. It was recommended to me by a friend, and I thought, I'll check it out. And it's team-based. So it's team-based.
That's different.
And yeah, it is. And so you've got people that are playing a different kind of game. They still have to survive in the wilderness and whatnot, and they have to do it off very limited resources, and they have to hunt their own food and boil their own water and, you know, figure out how to stay warm when it's cold and everything else. Things that I like. I love backpacking and whatnot. And there's this team element. So you get people that have to work together, and they can't finish unless they're part of a team. They have to be at least two people to finish. So you do have people that are kind of like really SOBs, and you do have people that are just really, really wonderful people trying to work together. It's a great dynamic, and it's on Netflix. I like it a lot. And weirdness, I started with season two. I haven't even watched season one yet. Oh. So maybe that's better. Don't know. And also High Potential. I did watch that. You guys talked about it last week.
Yep. How'd she do?
She's great. Caitlin Olson is legit. I mean, it's very much Psych for moms, I think, or Psych with moms, I guess you could say. And she's just a very high intellectual who helps solve crimes and is also very erratic, very Aaron Brockovich in many ways and her demeanor and whatnot, but very funny, charming, emotional, human. I really dug it. I mean, it fills that castle, psych, monk kind of void.
Which we need right now.
I do. You know, that's right. I do.
Yep. It's only a matter of time until somebody says that on that show.
They better. One of the producers is from Psych. So, yeah, they better. All right. Well, let's go to our From the Outside In topic. Recently, James Cameron was discussing Terminator with Empire magazine, and a reporter asked him, and I don't understand why a reporter would ask this, but I guess, you know, it's all about shock and clicks these days, right? But they asked him what he thought when others didn't define who the others were, because I don't know who's saying this, but when others complained about his quote unquote cringe dialogue. And of course, he stomped all over this question because James Cameron, he don't play that. He said, and I quote, "I don't think of it as some holy grail, that's for sure, regarding the Terminator. I look at it now, and there are parts of it that are pretty cringeworthy and parts of it that are like, yeah, we did pretty well for the resources we had available. I don't cringe at any of the dialogue, but I have a lower cringe factor than apparently a lot of people do around the dialogue that I write. You know what? Let me see your 3 out of the 4 highest grossing films. Then we'll talk about dialogue effectiveness."
Oof.
That is what
that's
is known as a bitch slap. Well played, sir. Well played. So let's start with this topic. We're talking cringe. Isn't it just a little outlandish to infer that dialogue is cringy for movies that millions of people adore? Or am I being snobbish myself by saying that?
I think it is outlandish for people to say that. I come to the point these days where I feel like people are constantly looking for reasons to hate something. And if they can't get it through the quality of the action, or if they can't get it through the quality of the acting, then they have to find another way of getting it. And sometimes the dialogue has to hit it, has to be it. And I don't understand why we always have to find something to hate, but it's easy to go after dialogue. I say stupid shit all the time. I can't imagine what happens when it's a movie about me.
They're making a movie about you?
Dang, I would totally watch that. I am so fascinated to see what they would do and how they would adapt for the small and big screen. It would
be pretty amazing.
I've got 8 jokes in my head and I can't say any of them. So
is it like a eulogue? Are John just sitting in the cabin in North Carolina?
No, but my first thing would be the frame would keep skipping. That would be one. And
that would be an amazing choice, honestly.
Be like when you used to watch HBO as a kid, like, why am I watching it sideways? I don't have HBO, that's why. Just kidding. No, I don't understand this. Like, look, I'm a film critic. I often have to evaluate dialogue, but you very much are evaluating it based on, you know, what the filmmaker intended. And also it's your opinion, right? Criticism is an opinion.
Right.
And everybody's allowed to criticize however they feel like it. But when people say it's so cringy just because it became super popular, which is always an immediate trigger for many people to make something, oh, it's horrible, it's bad, it's cringy, whatever, because everybody else loves it. So it's got to be terrible. Or maybe it's just, you know, not everything has to be high art. You know, I don't need everything to be equatable to the human experience. You know, I don't need everything to have some deeper philosophy or meaning or anything else. Sometimes I just want somebody to say dumb shit. I think family, people will make fun of that left and right. But you know what people remember most from Fast and Furious movies? Family. So is that cringy dialogue? Is it really? Because everyone remembers it. People quote it all the time. People go back to see those movies. I think it's unfair to call it anything but enjoyable for most people. You don't like it. If you don't like it, that's your right. But it's, I don't think it's ever fair to poo-poo someone else's excitement.
I would agree with you, but I don't think it's outlandish that he asked the question, to be honest. Because I think one of the things you have to think about...
It's kind of a rude question to
ask. No, it's not, because you're looking at it from a standpoint of there are so many films that have come out since the 1920s at this point, right? And if somebody today is going to go watch The Terminator today, The Terminator's pretty freaking cringy. I mean, I'll be back. It was funny back then, not so funny now. So I think there's a reference point of saying, does the movie stand the test of time? So that if you go back and watch Back to the Future today, or The Goonies today, or E.T. today, like, those movies are still great movies, right? Terminator, I can understand. It is a little hokey at parts. Terminator,
how very dare you?
Terminator 2, way better. You can watch Terminator 2 any day of the week.
But, well, okay, Judgment Day is a better movie.
Yes.
But how very dare you?
I understand.
I'll give you the effects, because it's a very low budget movie, but I'll be back is one of the most iconic lines in history.
How is
that cringy?
To us. No,
I think the problem is over time, it gets redone so many times and people play off it in so many different ways. I think that's what makes it cringy, because it's so overdone.
Like an instant dance.
Yeah, well, maybe that eventually will get there. But like, think of the Scream phone call, right? You know, that was terrifying when it first happened. Now it's been done in so many jokes and TikTok videos and other movies and everything else. It's kind of like, oh, Jesus, so cheesy. But it's not. It's time has made it cheesy. It's not actually cheesy in the movie. I'll Be Back is not cheesy in the movie. It's not cringy in that movie.
It's cringy in context by who's saying it and when they're seeing it.
Sure, I guess. Yeah. And plus, you have decades of people making fun of it. I think that's where the cringe comes in. And also that popularity thing. The more popular something is, the more people want to poo-poo it, because they just can't stand it. But if it's a little movie that nobody saw and it had the same dialogue, they'd be raving about it. That happens all the time. Okay, we got dead air. Hope you got a nod, like a note for that.
Well, it felt like you were done with that part.
Okay.
Of the discussion. Well,
edit.
Got it.
Do you have your... Okay. All right. So let's move on. So why can't people just accept that not all people need high art at every turn? Like, what? Why can't we just let people enjoy things?
Because the Academy told us we're not allowed to. Because they're like, no, everything has to be special and fantastic and can't be superhero movies and blah, 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 blah. So they've set the precedent for us that everything has to be, you know, fine art, not just art.
What you're saying is
I don't even blame the Academy for any of this, though. I just blame people. It's always people. Whenever it comes down to the final line or whatever we're discussing here, it's the people who have these natural inclinations to point out the negative. These people who or these people who are like, I want to be so much on the outside of something that as soon as people enjoy it, I want to find something to not enjoy about it. And let's face it, the dialogue is the easiest thing to find on any movie that most of the time when you find a bad movie, let's take a bad movie. When you get all the way through that movie, you're like, okay, well, this is terrible. This is terrible. This is terrible. And then you get to the dialogue. You're like, well, we can make fun of the dialogue all day long because everything else was garbage. But you get a movie that people love or people enjoy, they'll talk about how great everything is. And then they can say something as simple as, but that dialogue. And it's, you can do it with the Dark Knight. You can do it with Pretty Woman. You can do it with so many different movies. Shawshank Redemption. You can do it with all these movies where it's like, oh, but that dialogue, that one line really was off. I don't expect anyone to be perfect at anything, especially because, especially speaking.
I know you are not saying that the dialogue in Shawshank Redemption right now is bad at all.
It's like cringy. Cringy doesn't necessarily mean bad, does it?
There's nothing cringy in Shawshank Redemption.
Wow. Very defensive. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like somebody said Terminator is a bad movie.
To people that are watching it today.
To people watching Shawshank Redemption today, it could be cringy.
They didn't ask the guy who wrote Shawshank Redemption. They asked James Cameron.
Terminator is 40 freaking years old. It's 40 years old, like, and on a budget of $8, starring a guy who couldn't speak English. I mean, the fact that people still watch it is quite the testament. Quite the testament.
I agree.
I think, look, I kind of like bad dialogue sometimes. You know, I went through a bunch of sites and was like, all right, what do people think is some of the worst dialogue ever? And saw this multiple times, but in Hard to Kill, one of the lines is cited as one of the most cringy lines in an action movie. And the line is, I'm going to take you to the bank, Senator Trent, the blood bank. But you got to say it with that whole, I'm going to take you to the bank, Senator Trent, the blood bank. You know, that whole Steven Seagal feeling. And I have no problem with this line. I think it works in the context of the movie. I think it's a great, stupid B-movie line. And plus, it's also the movie where he kills a guy with a pool stick and goes, fuck you and die. And which is one of my favorite movie lines of all time. And it's really not well written, but I love it. And I it makes me smile every time I hear it or see that clip. Like, I've watched the clip on YouTube just to hear it again.
Or like a Commando, blow off some steam. It's so bad.
Commando's got a lot of them. Remember when I said I'd kill your last? I lied.
So good. It's so good.
Schwarzenegger's got a lot of them. Let's kick some ice.
Drop dead.
God.
So many.
God bless him.
So maybe it isn't a Terminator problem. Maybe it's a Schwarzenegger problem.
Yeah, it could be. There's a lot of bad or what some people say are cringy lines. You're a big Star Wars fan, right?
Yeah.
I don't like sand. It's coarse and rough and irritating, and it gets everywhere. Now that could be very naughty in the wrong context, but that's from Star Wars. Do you find that cringy, or do you just go, "Ah, it was the delivery"? It's really just kind of like a poorly written movie overall. Like, or do you think that dialogue in particular is especially cringy?
That's pretty annoying as far as a line goes. Yeah. It's way too simplistic as a reason. It's like, I don't like sand, but I will see your, I don't like sand and raise you. No,
that's delivery though. That's not the dialogue. That one's delivery,
which was also added in later.
So it's just that one's delivery. No, I was looking at this, okay? And I'm not a big fan of those prequels. But when you think about it, I don't like sand. I don't either. It is coarse. And it's rough. And it's kind of irritating. It does get everywhere. Like, this is a factual statement. I think more credence should be given to lines that are true.
Midichlorians are off the charts.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Midichlorians. That one. That's a whole concept that I can't...
Misa hate midichlorians too.
I really love the fact that they have never gone back to that since those three movies.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. So what makes dialogue cringy to you? Like, what is it that makes dialogue cringy to you? When you hear it, this is what you go, ugh.
I think it's really about context. And when you sit there and you see the context and the context, the line that's delivered is related to the context in like the weirdest possible way. The one that really stands out in my mind is Geely, when they're making out and Ben Affleck just kind of like is there and she pushes him away. And then she's like, it's like, what? Why'd you stop? And she's like, turkey time. And he's like, huh? Cause that's exactly what we all were like. We're like, huh? And then she's like, and opens up her legs and she's like, gobble, gobble. And I was like, what is going on right now? This is the worst thing I've ever seen two actors of this caliber do in my life. Like, that is 100% cringe.
I totally understood it. Made sense to me.
I never saw the movie, but I knew exactly what she was getting at when, yeah.
But that's just it. You know what she's getting at, and then they deliver that, and it's like, it's more fun when it's like suggested. It was very blatant. So things that are blatantly described, I think, is what's cringy.
I think it's more absurd because it's not a sexy way to be like, Guess Who's Going Downtown, my friend. It's just a little absurd, but I don't find it to be blatant.
What are the other ones?
Cringy to me is like, oh, hi, Mark. You know, after after you're unleashing a diatribe of words, and then you just go, oh, hi, Mark. I think that's kind of cringy. That's cringy.
The thing that always stands out to me is whenever the movie says the title of the movie, somebody has to say the title of the movie in dialogue. That one always jumps out at me. I always sit there and like, I'm like, why did we have to do that there? Like in Suicide Squad, when Harley Quinn's like, we some kind of Suicide Squad or something, you know, like, okay, calm it down.
They do that in most James Bond movies where they find a way to make the title either, well, it's definitely part of the song, or they might say it in some weird way. James Bond does that quite a bit. There are a lot of movies that do that. They're also where they put the tagline deep in the movie, like Evil Dies Tonight in Halloween Kills. That was cringy because you just keep repeating it over and over. I think I heard it 47 times. And guess what didn't happen? Evil didn't die tonight. It did not. It was fine. It's really annoying.
Oh, I think, not to pick a Grey's Anatomy reference, but the Meredith has this one scene where like she's this like supposedly great surgeon because her mom was such a great surgeon. And she has these relationship problems with Derek, and she's all like, pick me, choose me, love me. And it's like, oh my God, really? Can you be any more of the pick me girl right now? Like, go
were
away.
Those words that You're were said? Doctor, like they said that?
Sake. Act like one.
Did they say that? Pick me, choose me, love me?
That's what Meredith says, yeah.
And you watched this show.
I know. Like,
for 47 years.
Why? Why?
Just sad. And just sad.
And I'm one of the people, like, I'm all for, like, sappy movies and stuff, but Love Actually is one I have a challenge with a lot of times. Oh, my God, the Andrew Lincoln scene at the end with the cards and the Silent Night playing on the boombox. Yep.
Stalker scene.
Stalker scene. Yep. Cringe city.
That's cringy for a whole different reason, though. Right. That's not
worst
cringy
because... friend ever.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm going to date one of these hot girls, but in the meantime, I think you're pretty cool.
My buddy's girl. Bow, chicka, bow, bow. And you know where she stands because she doesn't call her husband over right away.
Nope. It's just Christmas carolers. It's all good.
Yeah. People still, I mean, we've talked about this on the show before. I don't get how that's a romantic scene. It's very terrible.
Yeah. You're like trying to play like soothing Christmas music. And at the same time, you're like, I'm going to date one of these girls next year. And it's not you, but I still like you. So Merry Christmas, motherfucker.
Oh my gosh. Do you know what happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning? The same thing that happens to everything else.
That line bothers me so much.
It's like, what? And people love to rate, well, Joss Whedon wrote that line. I don't give a shit if Aaron Sorkin wrote it. It's terrible. It's just it's just not a good line.
I mean, it might make sense if Stephen King wrote it, but
that's just bad writing.
Don't you know who I am? I'm the juggernaut, bitch.
Oh, God. Ah, woosah. I thought Christmas only came once a year. I kind of like that line. I'm not going to lie. I just, you know, thanks, James. Thanks, James Bond.
Yeah.
Thanks for naming a character Christmas Jones so they can make that one joke at the end is the only reason they even have that character in there so they can make that one joke. Oh, I respect it.
I like that movie.
I like all the James Bond movies. I don't really have any that I dislike. So that's it for the topic. You can always share your thoughts on this episode or anything else in our Facebook group. It's called The Hollywood Outsider. We're on X at Buy Popcorn. Our site is thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can always email us feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. And please rate and review us on your favorite podcast app. Now we're going to play a little game called Cringe It Up. Okay. We're going to take, each host is going to take a famous movie line. One everyday fans know, not some weird obscure one, John, that only you have seen the movie. So a famous movie line, rewrite it as cringy as possible, like may the push be on your side. Something like that. Get it? Can you do it?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, John.
All right. So from Shawshank Redemption, hope, this is the really famous line that's really great.
Are you doing this on purpose just to get under Troy's skin? Is that
yes.
the intent?
Yeah, I was about ready to walk out.
Hope is a good thing, maybe the best thing. and no good thing ever dies. That's a great line from the end of Shawshank Redemption, right?
Yep.
Hope is a sweet thing. Sweet like sugar. Maybe the sweetest ever. And sweet stuff sticks around forever. Am I right?
You know what? That is kind of an innocent line, but you saying it makes it creepy. That's all I'm saying. So does. Yeah. You take that however you want as a compliment, question mark. But yeah, hey, that's how
as long as it's cringy, right?
Hey, baby, stick
sure.
with me.
Sure. I didn't mean you had to make it dirty. I said cringy, but that, apparently that's cringy to you. So I'm going to pull from Casablanca, one of the best ones ever. And it's just, you know, there's a line that says, hair's looking true, kid. You know, that's how the line goes. It's meant to be very romantic and debonair. And I would change it to, here's looking at you, simp. Huh? Little Gen X, cringe it up. Because I don't like Gen X words. Nobody cares. But that's what I'm going with. That whole line is a little sus. But you know what? Humphrey Bogart had the riz. You're welcome. I learned three new words today. You're welcome.
I'm so sad you had to look those up.
I did. I had to. But it's cringy, isn't it? Yeah, because you're like, oh god, this sucked, Aaron. This whole bit sucks. Why are you guys doing this?
All right, mine is from Lost in honor of the 20th anniversary. Mr. John Locke's famous line, don't tell me what I can't do. And instead he says, you do you, I'll do me.
Yeah, that's cringy. Yep. How about instead of we have to go back, it's nah.
That's a replacement for the fan, because the fan was like, what?
That's it. We're out of here, I think. Oof. Good? Are we good to go? Are we good to leave?
Yeah, I think so.
Ooh, we got spooky coming up soon. We've got horror movies coming out. Halloween's right around the corner. Then we've got Thanksgiving, which it doesn't really mean anything. And then we have the holiday movie time. Yes! This year is already done.
Oh, we should also mention before we go, the Thunderbolts trailer dropped today.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch it. Did you guys? I assume you
did. I did watch it.
I did watch it.
Give me some feedback. Give me some love. What do we got?
I'm feeling like it's Marvel back to its normal form. It felt good.
Is this like a Suicide Squad-ish vibe? I know it comes out in May of 2025.
No, it's better than Suicide Squad because I didn't like either one of those movies.
Okay.
I'm going to say it's got a good vibe to it. It seems like it's got a lot of promise. And you can't beat that cast.
The cast is good.
Okay. Well, I'm glad the verdict is in. I got to go watch this after we're done, which we are. So thanks, everybody, for listening. And go out there and see some new movies in the theater, which apparently are going to be revamped as your favorite bowling alley. I hope we watch movies while we're bowling, because that sounds awesome. Or maybe when we're driving around a go-kart track into the bowling balls. Oof. Huh? What a win. Well, whatever happens, or you stream comfortably on your couch watching TV, buy popcorn.
Picking up a double feature is like a 7-10 split.
Jesus. Well done.
Well done. That's how you end the show. Goodbye, guys.